I'm Logan Bishop from Belmont University.
And I'm John Blankenship from Vanderbilt University. You're listening to Higher Ed Social, part of the Connect EDU network. I just want to get a feel. I know we don't talk a ton of about sports on this podcast, but I have to get a feel from a local with the NBA finals going on right now. What's it like right now, Melissa, you know, in Ontario with the Raptors making their run?
It's weird, right? Because we don't talk very much about basketball usually.
Right.
Just have the one team? Is that all we have in Canada, or is there another one?
I have no idea. That's the only one. There used to be two, the Vancouver Grizzlies, but they moved to Memphis sometime. I don't know how many years ago it's been, but they're in Memphis now. So you're down to one, but it's a good one.
And the Raptors have never made it to the finals like this before. So, like, other than what did Drake do with the game last night, it doesn't really come up. But the levels of lint that are coming through in the finals are so meta. It's amazing. So I don't know. We're talking about basketball for the first time ever. A lot of us are learning that 5 minutes on the clock is going to take 20 minutes to actually happen. I didn't know that.
Correct.
Yeah. You know, I think I'm just tuning in for a few minutes and I'll get the final score. And half an hour later, it's still happening. A lot of our downtowns are, do you guys know about Jurassic Park? Like, not the movie, but the Raptors thing?
Yes. No, tell me, I don't know what that is. Tell me about that and how that came to be.
I heard that phrase for the first time last week, and it's been around for years and years, but like they never made the finals. So you would never talk about the Raptors. You would never know that there's an outside area where people congregate when they're not in the game.
Right.
But it's just a tailgate. And it's a little bit different for us because I think we just legalized tailgating in Ontario. So I don't know if this is the first year that that area would be licensed or not. But it's a little bit more fun.
It kind of reminds me, a couple of years ago, you know, Logan and I are in Nashville. Our local hockey team made the Stanley Cup Finals. And it
Take
was
that,
this
Canada.
Huge party. Yeah, I know, right? It was very strange. Even
listen, you
know,
I'm a Bruins fan. I'm having a good week.
Oh, it's a very good week for you then.
Yeah.
Oh, your game's on right now, isn't it?
Well, I'm not that much of a fan.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. So I have to imagine it's something like Nashville experienced when the Predators made the Stanley Cup final a couple of years ago. You know, it's just really fun to see how cities react to first time making the finals in their professional sport. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for the city.
Nobody throws a party like we do.
Well, you guys have better music for sure. We're kind of taking it like a country, which is neat to see. Like, usually there's a little bit of Toronto at the center of everything attitude for the rest of Canada, but they're better than us right now. So we're embracing them instead of being mad at them. And every city's kind of turning its downtown into its own version of Jurassic Park. And people are flying, you know, from very, very, very far away across this large country just to go see games. It's cool. I've seen it happen locally when, you know, our university team has made nationals, but this has more of a national feel than a city feel for sure.
Right. Yeah, it's a really good story, and I've heard a lot about it, but it's cool to hear from somebody who's there and experiencing it.
Yeah, it's everywhere, and it's such a fast-paced game. It's kind of fun to watch.
On that note, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself, Melissa?
My name is Melissa May Cheater. I work at Western University in London, Ontario, Canada. And my role here is our digital content manager. So I work in central communications and public affairs. And my primary responsibility is Western's flagship social media accounts. So our Facebook, our Twitter, kind of what you would call like our main socials. And that includes working with the team that monitors them and handles all those great little conversational moments and catches the things that we need to be more concerned about. But it's also playing an editorial role with the content that goes out and the content strategy, and working with the 700 plus official Facebook and Twitter accounts scattered across our very decentralized campus. I do also teach digital design and web development in our Faculty of Information and Media Studies, because we call our little divisions faculties, not colleges, here in Canada. And I'm also currently a student at our university. I'm studying computer science. And I'm the founder of I'm the founder of Canada's National Digital Communications Conference for Higher Education, which is hashtag PSEWeb.
So what is PSEWeb for those who don't know what that is?
It's hard to say, that's for sure. Everyone wants to try and pronounce it, but I'm notoriously bad at naming things. And if you leave it up to me, I'm just going to make it an acronym and then it's going to have no flavor. But so I'm a huge, huge fan of the high ed web community and got introduced to that conference and a couple others when I was working agency side and we were going there as a vendor. And then when I crossed over to working in-house right before I met you, Logan, I'd be down there at High Ed Web in Chicago, in the summer of Chicago, and I'd be hanging out with all the Canadians that happened to be at that conference, and we would pick up on the differences between our, what we call post-secondary education sector versus what you guys have as your higher education industry. And we just knew that we were taking a lot of value from High Ed Web and hanging out with all of you guys. But we also kind of needed a space to talk about things in our own way without having to kind of translate and just being able to focus in on some of the things that we shared as universities in the same country. So we're basically just a regional. That's the short version of it. We're really just a High Ed Web regional for the country of Canada because they do it right. I wouldn't change a darn sparkle of a thing about High Ed Web, except that not all of our people can get down there to America, and we just needed kind of a space to chat as Canadians with Canadians. So they weren't quite ready to formally have international regionals when we started 10 years ago. So we're just friends. We're not an official regional. But yeah, we get together once a year and we have about 150, 200 professionals come. It's usually like half, new folks. We don't get a lot of repeats. There's definitely not budget here for anyone to go to a conference every single year. So it's new faces every year, but it's very much High Ed Web on, running on maple syrup.
Yeah. That's a really good way to put it. One of the things I find interesting, and it's kind of why you created PSEWeb in the first place, is that there are differences between schools in the U.S. and schools in other countries, namely Canada. So that's one of the things I've always been curious about. How are they different? We talked to someone in Australia earlier on the show. We learned about them and, you know, what campus is like there. So what are schools like in Canada? Do you have lots of residents? What's campus life like?
All right, cool. Well, we have pancakes for breakfast every morning.
With maple syrup,
and there's
obviously
always a side of bacon. Yeah, and you put the maple syrup on the bacon and the pancakes, for sure. Always Quebec Dairy Farmed butter. No, we are... So I'm kind of trying to flash back to when I worked with more schools than just one, like when I was working with a lot of the schools across the country, and because that's kind of how I can see the similarities a little bit easier. One, we call it something different. We refer to our field as post-secondary education, which I think you guys prefer the term higher education. We do not use the word college at all if we work at universities. So Canada's post-secondary sphere is divided into colleges and universities, and they're very, very, very different. It's getting blurrier, but universities are your research intensive undergraduate, bachelor's, master's, PhD granting institutions, and colleges are traditionally a little bit more career oriented and grant diplomas as opposed to degrees. So they're completely different forms of education, and you kind of make a decision coming out of high school. Are you going to go do the academic four-year undergraduate thing, or are you going to do kind of the 2-3-year college thing? So that's, I found when I was working with U.S. schools that you guys would use, you would call yourselves colleges, even if you were technically universities. And I just found out actually that Dartmouth is called Dartmouth College.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
It blows my mind because they're one of the best universities in the world.
And Boston College. There are several notable ones that are that way.
It's not that there's a stigma against colleges because it really depends what you want to do and how you learn best. But you would never catch any Canadian institution calling themselves a college if they were a university or if they were a degree granting, you know, academic undergraduate and graduate institution. So that's a couple of the differences is that the word college is very much not synonymous with university in Canada. What else do we have? Because we are, I would say most of our universities consider themselves to be national caliber. There's not a lot of local or regional or I think you mentioned kind of in the preamble, kind of small liberal arts colleges. We're kind of all playing for that top spot on the national stage and recruiting and bringing the best and brightest in from coast to coast, but also around the world. I think Western's at something like 10 to 15% international student population.
So how big is Western?
Oh,
are you guys like 25,000 somewhere around in there?
I think it might be a little bit bigger. Okay. Here, let me just Google it.
While you're Googling, so the way you all refer to colleges and Logan hop in here is kind of how we look at technical schools or what used to be called the trade schools.
That's exactly what we mean by.
Okay.
Yeah. And then so in Canada, you have your universities, you have your colleges. And then so universities are all public and we get money from private sources, but we're also getting government money. And colleges, I believe, are almost. If you're a formal proper college, then you're likely public as well, with your funding tied to student outcomes. But then we have this kind of third category that would sometimes be called a college, but is a little bit more of that trade school kind of thing, where they're totally private. You can't get student grants to attend them. The government doesn't give any money to them, and you really want to look at the employment rates before you attend, which a lot of students don't do.
That's really interesting. And you mentioned the performance-based thing. That is something to look at for students that, you know, I think a lot of students think about it, but I think a lot of students don't think about looking at the outcome before they attend somewhere.
Right. Oh, and even for a particular program, right? Like I've had friends that have gone to school for a very practical graduate degree and then not been able to get placed afterwards. But all our performance indicators are transparent and online. And if you've looked at it, that feels not hiring. So then you get into the ethics of, well, why is the school offering the course? Well, you keep showing up to class. So I don't know kind of what you want us to do there. I think the government does step in sometimes. Our teachers' colleges in Ontario now can take much fewer students in, many fewer. Far fewer, something like that. We're not allowed to train as many teachers anymore because there just aren't enough spots for them. So sometimes the government will intervene because we are public institutions. But yeah, so I found my number. Do you want my Google number?
Sure.
Hit us with it.
Okay. We have about 35,000 students and then, I don't know, like 1,000 faculty and a couple thousand staff. And we're not the biggest. I think U of T is probably, University of Toronto is probably double our size, but we're pretty substantial. We're one of the largest universities in Ontario, if not the country.
That's pretty amazing.
Are you guys, is it a central campus or do you guys have satellite locations or are satellite locations of a university even a thing in Canada?
Yes, and we all call it something different. So it depends what school you go to, but here at Western, we have three what we call affiliates. So we have Brescia University College, which is Canada's only female-only undergraduate institution. Really awesome place. And then we have Huron University College and King's University College, and they're all across the street. Like King's is on the east side of the street and Huron and Brescia are on the west side of the street. So our students go between all three. We have little shuttle buses and we all hang out together. And then our business school has a campus, so not a satellite location, but like an actual just extension of their business school in our capital in Toronto.
Right.
And I think they have a campus in Hong Kong as well.
I would call that a satellite campus for sure.
Yeah, I guess we differentiate between like far-flung, you know, separated physical destinations, but then we also just have extra schools. So the students at Brescia, Kings, and Huron don't count in Western's 35,000. They're like, they would be more above and beyond. It is like running a little city. You know, you want to put out fun content all the time and creative content and share knowledge, but sometimes people just need to know if the bridge is closed.
Right. You know, that's a good way to put it, is you're running a little city, because you're exactly right.
Yeah, I've been trying ever since I shifted here, because I was agency side, and then I was in the business school, and for the last 7 years I've been here in central communications, and I've been trying to get my hands on as many municipal or in city social media strategies as I can, just because we have citizens, we have people that live here, we have traffic and road rules and weather sirens, and we're in the tornado strip. Tornado belt, snow belt, tornado zone, I think it is.
Oh, really?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, we have bad weather. Yeah, but it's really, really nice when the students aren't here. Like, the flowers bloom and it's gorgeous, and then they show up and it snows.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of sad.
Yeah, the view book's gorgeous. The students will never see campus looking that way, but it's not true. Like, in September or October, it's kind of nice. And then maybe April, the green is out. But this was the first weekend of summer today.
Oh, my word. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was like, you could wear shorts as of yesterday.
It's been death hot here for like a month.
Logan's social media feed have been images of temperatures on screens of cars and computers. It's funny.
I do not know how you run in that heat. Like, I'm done at...
Right now, I'm not, because my back is messed up, but, you know.
Oh, no. I thought you were training for something.
Oh, I did. I ran a half marathon in end of April. And then I had about 2 weeks of everything's great, and then my slipped disc in my back started acting up again, and I only just started doing very light interval training this week, so...
Yeah,
it's not great.
Can you do like swimming?
Yeah, I've been doing a little bit of that. But not like official like workout swimming, but going to wave pool with Simon and Marin. So it's been nice.
Yeah. Do you guys have lazy rivers where you just float around in a tube?
We do at other places, but this one is just pretty much a wave pool and three slides. So, but it's also cheap. So there's that.
We have a free public pool kind of at the end of our road. It's heated and it's got that kind of sloped beach entry that's so good for kids. But it's only open 2 months a year. It's crazy.
Well, anyway.
Do you feel like you know about Canada now?
Well, I know a little bit about Canada. There's maple syrup and there's maple leaves, and you're not even really a country, but you are. But you've got the queen, who is the queen of England, but also the queen of Canada.
Of the empire.
Of the empire isn't really an empire.
An autonomous little subchapter. And I'm not even Canadian. I'm from Newfoundland.
That is Canadian.
It isn't.
I thought it's a territory.
It's one of those. It's kind of a nuanced country. Is that safe to say, Melissa? I don't know.
I thought Quebec was the nuanced country.
I don't know if that's a thing or not. That's a term that I just made up, but it kind of is.
Well, we're big, like you guys, right? So.
Well, land area wise, yes.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that like we get along or feel unified. I don't know if Canadians are allowed to admit that. But so Newfoundland didn't join Canada until 49, and we pretty much just did it because we were broke.
Well, I mean, Alaska did, and we claimed them. And same goes for like Hawaii. We definitely claim them.
Oh, yeah. The center always claims as many things as it can as it's conquered. But that doesn't mean that the conquered people...
Are you saying
people...
that Canada conquered Newfoundland?
They lured us in.
Was there a maple syrup boycott? Did they hold it at the border and said, you know, no more maple syrup for you unless you you join us?
And we'd like your lobsters. Back and forth. There's like, good give us your stuff lobsters. In Newfoundland. Pardon?
Isn't that what is Newfoundland's like?
Claim to fame?
Like, I'm a fan. Oh, fish, lobster, berries. I go for the berries. We have really, really, really good berries that you can't get other places in the world. And we definitely don't share them with Canada.
No, I did hear that Prince Edward Island is known for their lobsters, but
yeah, but
that's the one from Nova Scotia that told me that one.
Weird that someone from Nova Scotia would give a shout out to PEI. We get along in Canada.
They gave me a song about Rob the Lobster or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's interesting though that you say that about Newfoundland and Canada and their relationships. That's something I have never heard before. That's an interesting nugget.
We get along. It's just it's a unique place, and it is on the other side of Quebec, separated from the rest of the country. So,
right.
It's out there. Like little things like Canada Day. You guys have your July 4th. We have our July 1st.
Yeah.
Right. In Newfoundland, before they joined Canada at all, that's actually the National Day of Remembrance for the Fallen at War. So it's awkward. The rest of the country is having a good party to barbecue, and we're putting on our poppies and mourning, right?
Wow. That is a national awkward pause.
Well, it is, yeah.
Memorial Day is sometimes like that here.
Correct.
People don't get that Memorial Day is for fallen soldiers. So mm-hmm. sometimes they say, we're honoring our vets today. And we're like, nope, that's Veterans Day. That's November 11th. Same as Armistice Day, which you probably didn't know. But Memorial Day is for the ones that didn't come back. And of course, that's when all the mattress sales are happening. And
that's where you were going originally. Was Memorial Day is for sales? You can get
it's for 18 sale, months no sale. Interest at Best Buy. And then everyone goes out and cooks out and has hamburgers and hot dogs.
And that's what you guys call barbecue, right?
That's called cooking out or grilling.
Yeah, and we got it all wrong here. If anything goes on the barbecue or the grill, we call it barbecue.
There's some of that here too. That's not just a northern thing for sure.
But see, here in the South, where we actually make real barbecue.
Yeah.
It's barbecue's barbecue. Now, if you go up north, I think it's a little different. Or you go out west, it's more like you guys. But here, where there's actual food called barbecue, it's different.
Barbecue's a noun here.
Yes.
It's like fish.
Or it can be an adjective too, barbecue pork or barbecue chicken.
True.
I thought chicken didn't count. I thought it was
counts.
I'm still learning about your ways, and so am I,
by the way, and I've lived here in the South for all my life. But that is an interesting conversation because some people would tell you that it's not barbecue chicken. It's just chicken with barbecue sauce. That the only way you can call it barbecue is if it was smoked in a pit over charcoal.
Mm-hmm. Pretty sure they do that at Martin's.
Yes, they do. And it's wonderful.
Yes, it is. Martin's is the best barbecue place in the country.
It's really good.
Is it in Nashville?
Of course it is. We are the barbecue. We are the number one barbecue city in the world.
What's your barbecue
like? According to Travel and Leisure magazine. Huh?
Is your barbecue a red sauce?
It is a mix of everything. That's what makes ours so great.
Well, I like every state and area I go to.
John will probably disagree with me on that.
Mustardy. It's different everywhere. The one in Texas is closest to what we eat in Canada, I find.
Okay, like on the spicy side, more of the red sauce.
Yeah, a little bit of pepper.
Right.
Yeah, but just kind of like it tastes like Heinz barbecue sauce is what we eat up here.
Right. So do you travel a lot with your job,
or
is it mainly conferences?
Just conferences, and that's it. Just conferences. It's just not anymore, right? Because our budgets don't support it. So I get out more than a lot of people in my role would, I think, because I kind of have an obligation to attend the Canadian conference every year with being on the board. And then
right.
I can't really model the conference after the American one if I never go to it. So I try to get to the American one too. But I should say I don't actually organize the Canadian conference anymore. We have a fabulous executive director who is kicking butt and letting me have free time. So
that's amazing.
Very excited to be retired. I love retirement.
Well, in your if you do travel, I would I would suggest if you're in the mood, you should visit Nashville. It's a unique place, especially now over the last few years. It's I'm going to sound like a tourism board director or something like that, but it's really grown. There are a lot of different types of people from all over here now. It's an interesting and fun place to visit.
It's really, really, really high on my list. I'll have to do like a Wikipedia monthly weather scan to find out when I can come and not melt my face.
It's hot from now until September, probably.
Yeah.
But see, it's good, though. It's a good heat.
It's not.
It's not really a good heat at all, but the city makes up for it.
See, I'm one of the weirdos that likes the heat and humidity.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, you are weird.
Uh-huh.
It's because you're from Kentucky. That's why.
Love it.
Oh, Kentucky. So Texas is the barbecue that is most like Canadian barbecue, but mm-hmm. Kentucky is my favorite barbecue sauce I've ever had.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Love it to death.
More of a what I grew up with was more of a vinegar type sauce,
which is a North Carolina kind of.
Yeah. No, see, I've had. The vinegar from North Carolina sauces, but when I've had Kentucky, it's been very sweet.
Yeah, it's on the sweet side, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's almost like a caramel or something.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious.
Oh, it's so good. And the place that made it here closed. I got like their last half bottle out of the back of the kitchen and I'm hoarding it.
That's a good get.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just secondary market.
Just remember, things expire. So if you don't use it, you might get a mouthful of something you don't like.
Logan, it's so old. It's so, so very old.
You should
old.
Probably throw it out at this point.
Well, it's just sugar. It'll be fine.
Sugar totally crystallizes and becomes horrible.
You got to try it.
If you microwave it.
Let's try it.
I just did that to the honey.
Well, so we have all kinds of folks listening to the show in all different fields of higher ed. If there's like one thing that you would want those folks to know, what would it be about what you do and why it's important to your institution?
That's such a deadly question,
isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know if my answer would be the same for other schools. Like, I don't know. I don't really feel like I can speak for all thou who art central communications.
Just talking about you. Just you.
Yeah. I'd say what I know about and what I can speak to and kind of publish on our accounts is how our accounts work, how our social media accounts work. Everything else, the knowledge, the culture, everything else about this campus is not my specialty. And if all the arms and the faculties and the programs and the institutes of this campus kind of don't reach out and share their stories with us, then we can't do our job. We can't reflect who they are out into the world. And one thing that we really, I don't know if every school struggles with this or not, but we get the call when something's wrong. Like we didn't sell enough tickets to this event, or this thing wants to boost its profile because it needs to get funding or something like that. Like that's when we get brought in. But that means everything we're putting out on our accounts and through all of our communications are kind of our weaker links. And that's not the overall image you necessarily want to put out there. But those are all the things that need coverage and attention.
Right.
And we forget about these killer little corners of the university that are just literally changing the world. The cars you drive are different, better, stronger, faster, more economical because of this institute off on the corner of campus. And you never hear from them because they're fine. They're killing it. They're working with every car manufacturer on the planet. and I've never shared them on social media because they've never had a problem, which means the world doesn't know that great story. So it's, I think what we're constantly working uphill with here is communications doesn't know what communications doesn't know. So you need to tell us about your things, good and bad, and your special moments and your culture and that event that everyone in your faculty or your college looks forward to every year. We don't know about that because we're not in your faculty or college. Like, communications at Western isn't even located on main campus. We're like a whole river away. You have to take a bridge. And then the other thing is remembering to kind of stop and share what you're producing, whether it's to kind of show return on the public's investment in the university, or whether it's to mobilize knowledge, because that's kind of what we're doing here at a university campus, producing great innovation and knowledge and discussion. And if we don't share it just because there's enough people who already bought tickets to the event, then I don't know if we're doing our jobs.
I think that is not something that is limited to where you are.
I would agree with that.
After talking with folks across how many institutions at this point, I think it's so incredibly important for folks to share what's happening on campus and share victories and celebrate victories on social, not just, you know, the little things that I never actually thought about it that way, that we're putting forward our weakest links, but you're totally right. And that's right. We definitely should share the things that are huge, the things that are big, the things that make us who we are and what make us and our individual institutions amazing. Like, sometimes I think that gets forgotten sometimes. So yeah, that's great.
I did that study last year with, I think, 6 or 7 schools, universities in Canada, and 6 or 7 schools in America. And I got like 20 months of their Facebook insights and kind of ran a bunch of numbers. And it's the schools that have culture and spirit and kind of an institutional identity or a community identity that are getting the higher engagement and performing through the algorithm. And again, that's not something that I didn't know, that our kinesiology program had an Olympics every year. Like, you need to know those little community moments that make up this place for the students that attend it. And someone's got to tell communications.
Well, I think that's a great place to end on, because that's awesome. And is that available, that little study you did?
Yeah, absolutely. I can send you a link if you want to put it in the show notes.
I was thinking the same thing. That would be great.
What might be more helpful is, because I said the PowerPoint slides, but Tim Neckritz did a write-up because it was a high ed web presentation. So there's a linked article about it.
Okay. Well, we'll put that in the show notes, and we'll even link to it to the presentation too. So that'd be great.
Cool.
Well, thanks for being on the show this week.
It's very exciting to hang out with you guys.
And it's really exciting to have our second international guest. We are truly an international podcast. Listeners, head down to highered.social and get links to the stuff we talked about today, including Melissa's presentation for High Ed Web, where she did that little survey. And don't forget to subscribe to us anywhere you listen to podcasts. If you like the show, consider giving us a review on Apple Podcasts. It helps people find us, and it lets us know what you think of the show. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at HES Podcasts. Send us a tweet. We love talking to you. And don't forget to let us know if you want to be on the show. Higher Ed Social is produced by the amazing Emma Haas and is part of the Connect EDU Network, the first podcast network for higher education. Visit the website connectedu.network and subscribe to some awesome shows no matter where you work on campus. Thanks, and we'll see you next week. One quick thing, pause. Hey, John, can you turn off sharing?
I can, yeah.
It's affecting the stream quality a little bit.
All right, hang on. How do I turn off sharing?
Close that, what you just did. Hit the X button.
All right.
There you go. And then take your mouse down to the bottom. Okay, you see the little two squares next to the heart that's beating? Uh-huh. Click that and hit stop sharing.
Oh, gotcha.
Oh, I'm totally going to press that as soon as he's done, just to drive you crazy, Logan.
It affects the audio quality when it's sending video. So, no video is the better quality. But anyway, I'm going to cut that part out. But anyway, yeah.
Leave that in. That's the making of the sausage. Everybody wants to know what goes on behind the scenes of the podcast.
Nobody wants to know what's in the sausage.
Well, sometimes they do if it's funny. And they can see it. They can't see
outtakes.
That.
Hashtag outtakes.